What is happening, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Happy Friday after Thanksgiving to all of you. It is fantastic to be with you on a Friday morning, Friday afternoon, wherever you may be. As the man said, my name is Sean Pendergast, but in this window of radio real estate, you may know me as Sean the Cablin Asian from H-Town. Still from H-Town, still Sean the Cablin Asian, real name Sean Pendergast. And it's great to be with all of you on a Friday. This is very, very cool. And for those of you tuning in who may not know me, if you listen to Jim's show, you might know who I am. I've won the smack off a few times. But if you don't know who I am, I am a morning radio host in Houston, somewhat humble, a morning radio host in Houston on Sports Radio 610. If you listen to the network, you know that I do Sunday afternoons outside of the NFL season on the CBS Sports Radio Network. If you're listening in Houston, you know I do pregame and postgame for the Houston Texans. But this show, the Jim Rome Show, is where I made any semblance of notoriety start for my radio career as a caller to this show. A caller back in 1997, and then was thrilled when I even qualified for Jim Smackoff in 1998. And then I actually won it one time in 1999, and then I won it four more times after that. And it's turned into a radio career for me, and I'm not a career radio guy, but this show was what got my foot in the door in Houston, and I've been doing radio for the last 14 years. I say all that to say that this is a really cool day for me to get to do this. This is really, really fun. I've watched people substitute host in the jungle before for Jim, and I've always been kind of low-key, a little envious to get to do it because I've been such a big fan of this show for so, so long. And this is a really, really cool day for me. So I appreciate y'all being a part of it. I appreciate the opportunity to get to do it. I appreciate the trust that Jim and his crew have in me for getting to do this for the next 3 hours. It's like when my dad let me drive the car for the first time. It's pretty cool. Jim's sort of, in a weird way, my radio dad. I wouldn't be a radio host had I not gained my notoriety in the jungle running my mouth all those years. Except my dad had a Honda Accord. This is more like driving a Bentley. This is a nicer car than my dad. I know my dad's listening right now. I can always count on my dad listening. I don't know how many listeners I have. We have a very highly rated show here in Houston. I do the show with Seth Payne, who's a former NFL player who's excellent at what he does. And we do well. Our show is drawing good numbers and whatnot, but I always know my dad will listen. So no offense, Dad, when I'm outing your Honda Accord from back in like 1985, this show is nicer than your car was. So yeah, this is cool, man. This is a prime piece of real estate. Jim Rome's jungle. And I'm not house-sitting for my brother or house-sitting for a buddy or apartment-sitting for somebody. This is like a seven-bedroom home when it comes to radio. So this is really, really cool. I'm like fanboying right now, but I'm fanboying and I actually do a show on this network. Like I'm technically a teammate of Jim's. I do a show on the CBS Sports Radio Network. Now Jim is like the LeBron James of the network, and I'm more like I got to pull up the roster for the Lakers to see who I am. If Jim is LeBron, am I Kentavious Caldwell Pope? That's probably even too much. I do Sunday afternoons 1 to 5, it's one day a week, and it's outside of football season. That would have been cool because I could have been Shontavious Caldwell Pope. Jared Dudley. I'm probably like this Talen Horton Tucker character. 19 years old. 6'4", 234. That's who I am. I'm Talen Horton Cablin Asian. And Jim is LeBron James. So this is really, really cool. I appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to be part of the show, here's the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. 4227 if you want to get in on the show. A reminder as well that the Jim Rome Show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So again, for those of you who don't know who I am or maybe didn't listen to the Smack Off this year, because I had been away from the Smack Off for a long, long time. I was like someone who went away to federal prison for a while, and then I came back, and I'm like a character getting reprised on The Sopranos. And here I am. I'm like Tony Blundetto in the Smackoff last year. And so just to give you a little snippet to see what, you know, non-radio host Sean sounds like, this is what caller Sean sounds like. Here is, yes.
We go to Houston. We go to Sean, the Cablin Asian. Shawnee, it's good to have you back. What's up, Sean?
It is great to be back. 1998 was the first time I was invited to the Smack Off, And here I am, three kids, two marriages, and five titles later, and this never, ever gets old. Hey, props to Jeff in Southfield for being the first caller to make it through his entire call while undergoing electroshock therapy. Dude, why do you talk like that? When you get friends someday, that's going to be a big problem for them. And Mark in Boston, you Googled me, and of course you found stuff about me. I'm relevant. I Googled you, and all I found was a sea of pictures of 100 different chads passed out with vomit caked all over the front of their Larry Bird jerseys. Go away, man. Hey, Jim, I listened to the final segment of the show yesterday just to kind of get hyped up. And, oh, my God, what a horrible segment. I didn't know these dudes are still trying to smack their way into the field on the last day. And all I could think about was that the day before the smack-off is basically week four of the NFL preseason. You know, it's like the 11th hour, and dudes are trying to make the team, a bunch of scrubs fumbling and having balls bounce off their face, Rex in Albuquerque, Chris in Toronto, even Jeff on a car phone in Phoenix, all calling in, all getting run. Jeff, we know your hobby is metal detecting. That doesn't need you mean you need to use a metal detector to make your call, bro. Nice phone.
All right, so there you go. So that was me calling this year. Now, here's the thing. I finished seventh in the smack-off this year, which I'm not bitter about at all. At this point, I'm like Ric Flair. For you wrestling fans out there, you know, like by the time Ric Flair was getting into his advanced years, he was there to put the young guys over. He was there to get pinned, to try to raise the profile and give the rub to the younger callers. So that's what I am. That's how I view it. But I could have played any number of title-winning smack-off calls that I had, but I don't have that kind of ego. I'm cool with playing my seventh place, my worst finish ever, seventh place. So for those of you, you know the old saying, like, that guy can't lace my boots on my worst day. You know, that old saying, like, he couldn't lace my boots on my worst day. You heard my worst day in the smack-off right there, at least the snippet of it. I rambled for another 3 minutes after that. Maybe that's why I finished seventh. I should have only rambled for 2 minutes after that. But anyways, so seventh place. So this is like me. This is like if you walked up to Emmett Smith and said, oh, you were a football player? Let's see your highlights. And he shows you highlights of his Arizona seasons. Or like Garth Brooks. Like, hey, oh, you're a singer? Well, what name some albums that you've done? And he doesn't play No Fences or Rope in the Wind. He plays that Chris Gaines album where he grew his hair out and changed his name. U2 playing Zooropa. Zooropa sucks. Don't come at me, U2 fans, with defending Zooropa. It's terrible. All right. So enough about me. There are sports to talk about today. If you want to get at me on Twitter, as some of you like to do from time to time, at Sean T. Pendergast. On Twitter is where you can get me. So, actual sports news. And we've got good guests lined up, by the way. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, the voice of AEW, and a huge football fan, is going to join me later on this hour. Hour number two, we've got Brian Geltzeiler, hoops critic. Those of you who listen to my CBS show here on Sundays, you know that Geltz is a practically weekly guest and a very dear friend. We'll talk NBA in hour number two. And then in hour number three, Bryant McFadden, former defensive back in the NFL, is going to join me. We'll talk some football in hour number three. We're going to talk a lot of football today. And I think the biggest story right now is Ravens-Steelers with more positive tests in the building for the Baltimore Ravens. What is going to happen with this game? What's the NFL going to do? The Ravens closing their facility until Monday. And probably the biggest news out of all this, one of the positive tests is Lamar Jackson, the quarterback of the team. Biggest loser here might be RG3, who, if they have this game, he's going to get murdered by the Steelers' defense. But if this game gets postponed, ultimately not played, pushed to a week 18, there are some big ramifications with this thing. First of all, the Ravens are a team that's already teetering on the brink of not making the playoffs after going 14-2 last year. But you've got the Steelers now who are undefeated. They're 10-0. And this is the second time this year that they've been impacted by the coronavirus without having actually gotten the coronavirus as a team. They were the team the Titans were supposed to play when they had their big breakout earlier this year. And now here are the Ravens. You know the 72 Dolphins are just licking their chops right now, by the way. I just thought of that. As I mentioned, the Steelers being undefeated, they're 10-0. Like, if somehow this game gets canceled, let's say, or somehow let's pretend the Ravens are forced to forfeit this game. If that happens, you know that the 72 Dolphins, whichever ones are still with us, are going to be just licking their dentures to throw an asterisk onto this Steelers season. That's an aside. The big thing is, this is arguably the biggest rivalry game in the AFC, the Ravens and the Steelers, is it not? With Tom Brady gone out of the AFC, can you name a bigger rivalry in the AFC than the Steelers and the Ravens? I can't. And this game is being impacted by the coronavirus. And by the way, a COVID spread that, at least based on the punishment doled out by the Ravens, is in large part caused by a strength coach who was traipsing around the stadium with no mask, who was just a scofflaw. He was just ignoring all the COVID rules. A strength coach. This would be like the receptionist causing World War III at the White House. Like the receptionist at the White House causing World War III. Like the strength. And I know strength coaches are important to NFL teams. I know they are. I root for a major college football team. I went to a school with a major college football team. I know how important strength coaches are to organizations. But as far as the game itself goes, as far as the game on Sunday goes, the strength coach is one of the least important people in the building. There's nothing the strength coach does that impacts game day. And as far as getting this game on the field, yeah, this is like the receptionist causing World War III. Like the president walks in, like, why are the Russians shooting missiles at us? Oh, Mildred talks smack to Putin. That's the strength coach walking around the building without a mask on. So the Ravens and the Steelers, we'll see what happens with that. But the Ravens can't even go into their building till Monday, and the game's still, I'm looking at the scoreboard section on ESPN.com, the game's still on there. So we'll see what happens. The bigger picture is, if the game doesn't happen Sunday, when is it going to happen? If there's going to be a Week 18, this is going to be what pushes the NFL to a Week 18. There's no more bye weeks to park these things anymore. And the Ravens are supposed to play on Thursday against the Cowboys. All right. So that game was supposed to take place last night. I should be doing the show breaking down the Ravens and the Steelers. Instead, I'm here cracking jokes about the receptionist in the White House. So the other Thanksgiving Day games, Texans-Lions. Texans beat the Lions 41-23. A game that I am intimately interested in. I know a lot of you listening probably are not. It was a 3-7 team versus a 4-6 team. But let me just tell you, if you didn't watch the game, that Deshaun Watson is the greatest quarterback of a 4-7 team in the history of the NFL. There, I said it. He's amazing. But my bigger question is about the Lions, and I put this out to you, the listener. 855-212-4CBS. Does any team in sports play like how their coach looks more than the Lions? Again, I'll repeat that. Does any team play like how their coach looks more than the Lions? Frumpy, disheveled, perpetually peeved, kind of fugazi, intelligent with the damn pencil behind his ear. Has he ever even used the pencil, Matt Patricia? Willingly growing facial hair to look like Bluto from the Popeye cartoons? Did you all see the software or the I'm sure they use software for it, but the facial progression thing they did with Matt Patricia, where they started with him like as an infant, and they it was really creepy on the broadcast, but they slowly morphed him into today's Matt Patricia, and like Romo and Nance are like openly clowning it. They're like, he used to be handsome like 10 years ago. But does any team play like how their head coach looks more than the Lions? The only team that might would be the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, who's really disturbing when he wears the mask. He looks like a very, very unintimidating version of a Mandalorian, because he's got those weird kind of clear eyes that are peering out over the mask, like a White Walker had sex with a Mandalorian. All right, so we're off and running. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in. Jim Ross later on this hour. Up next, college football. My plea to the coronavirus for college football. We'll get to that. Good to be with you. A Thanksgiving weekend Friday here in the jungle. Jim Rome's jungle. I'm Sean the Cablin Asian. Stay there. More of the jungle after this. Hey, Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. The early games highlighted by the Colts clashing with the Titans. Then the late game, all eyes will be on the marquee matchup between Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs taking on Tom Brady's Bucks. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific with the NFL Today. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. I'm Sean Pendergast, a.k.a. Sean the Cablin Asian, and you're listening to the Jim Rome Show here on a Friday of Thanksgiving weekend. Good to be with all of you. You can tweet the show. You can tweet me at Sean T. Pendergast. Kindly requesting that you wore Stucknut at some point today. It would make Stephen H. Town's year, and he'll likely stop texting you multiple times a day. Steve doesn't text me multiple times a day. Steve texts me when it's necessary to text me. But he can text me anytime he wants to. I love Steve. War Stucknut. How about that? That's how you know you've got a radio franchise, when you've got fans that are creating areas of the internet where fans of your show can convene in message board form, archived audio. It's really, really cool. Steve's from right here in H-Town, man. Love it. Yeah, War Stucknut for sure. Sean says, are you seriously beginning the show with clips of your own calls? LOLOL. Let me be clear. It was a suggestion by my producer today, Tom. I thought it was a good suggestion. I thought it was a good way to introduce me to the audience. Now, Jim is tagged on this tweet, and somewhere if Jim's checking his Twitter, he's probably like, oh God, what have we done? Who did we leave our house to? What are we coming home to? To be clear, I played a minute 21 of what was a 4.5 minute call. Don't make me play the whole thing, all right, Sean? If you don't even spell your name the right way. S-H-A-U-N. Stop it already. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in. 855-212-4227. College football. There is college football. There's college football going on right now. I'm lucky I'm in a studio that has no TV. I wanted to make sure I'd be at my best to do this show. The fewer things there are to distract me, the better the show is going to be. So if this show is a solid B+, just know that it would have been like a C or a C- if college football would have been on in the room. But there is college football today, and there's college football. And look, the college football schedule looks like Swiss cheese right now. There's games getting canceled every weekend. I'm looking right now. They actually have a place you can go just to find the cancellations for college football. Like, there's pages you can go to. Like, there's choices on various college football websites now. It used to be teams, schedule, TV schedule, history, stats. And now they all have one, COVID. So I click on COVID and I see that there are 14 games canceled this weekend. 14 games, including probably the big one. I would say the one with the team that has the biggest marquee value that's been canceled this weekend is probably, well, USC is on here. I see USC on there. They had their game against Colorado canceled. Miami and Wake Forest, the U is a top 10 team. They won't be playing this weekend. Bunch of SEC schools getting canceled. I'm seeing that Alabama and LSU are going to find a way to play that game. Go figure. Marquee TV. San Diego State and Colorado are going to play each other because both of their opponents got the COVID. And I'm always curious how that goes. We're seeing that a lot this year where schools are stuck without games. So they're like calling up other teams to play games. They're calling up other teams to schedule games. Like Colorado and San Diego State are doing this weekend. It's like they're scheduling pickup games. How does that work? Does Colorado call San Diego State? And does then San Diego State check with their mom to see if they're allowed to go play this game? We can play this game, but we've got to be home by 6. Whose house do they go to afterwards to eat frozen yogurt, go-gurt, oatmeal cream pies, and play video games? I'm going to say San Diego State. Oh, those would both be nice places to go. Boulder or San Diego? Either one. I'm down with either one. What do you do when your season is like 6 games long, like USC, and then you get a game canceled? At what point do you just go, well, screw this. The Pac-12. Pac-12 starting in November, bad idea. But here's my plea to COVID. My plea to COVID is this. Keep your grubby tentacles off of Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. Those are the 4 teams at the top of the college football playoff poll. Keep your grubby COVID tentacles. I feel like when I'm making a plea to COVID, I'm picturing that little bacteria thing in my mind that's got like 8 jillion arms off of it. And I'm like staring it in the face right now. I'm like, listen, COVID, keep your grubby paws off of these 4 teams and their opponents. This isn't my version of a prayer. I'm not praying for these schools and their opponents. I feel like that would be a bit of a faux pas to get on Jim Rome's Jungle, a nationally syndicated popular show, and use prayer as a way to get the college football playoff onto the field. I guess I'm begging. Just keep your grubby paws off of Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. We've been robbed of a lot of things in 2020. And as a college football fan, I do not want to be robbed of my playoff. So stay away from the teams they play the rest of the year. But at the very least, stay away from those four teams. Because those are the four right now, right? I mean, those are the four. Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State. Alabama and Notre Dame, those are easy ones. Those are undefeated teams who, by and large, have played their schedule this year. Alabama had the LSU game postponed. Notre Dame had the Wake Forest game postponed. We're set to make both of those games up as of news that I'm seeing earlier today. So it's all good. So we know those two. And then Ohio State, they're undefeated, and they didn't look very good against Indiana. But I'm pretty confident in saying Ohio State's one of the top three teams in the country, even if they've only played like three games so far. Ohio State's really good. And then I'm fine with Clemson being number four. They have the best loss of the season. They went into Notre Dame with their backup quarterback, and they went to double overtime. Now, granted, their backup quarterback is better than the quarterback of all but like three teams in the country right now. Like, if you're power ranking the quarterbacks, it's Trevor Lawrence, it's Justin Fields, and then it's the Ua Ungalele. It's the Clemson kid. The Clemson kid with the long name. DJ. I'm just going to call him DJ. Call him by his first name. He might be the third best quarterback in college football. But still, it's your backup quarterback. Your starting quarterback is going to be the number one pick in the draft. So I'm cool with those four being the top four. And then after that, Texas A&M, they lost to Alabama. Florida, they lost to Texas A&M. So you start to trickle down. To me, the top four are very clear, which, again, it goes back to my plea to COVID. Take the lower-level bowl games. Take, if you must. I mean, I'm not saying take them. I'd rather you not, COVID, take these things. I'd rather you go the hell away so we can just get back to doing what we do. But if you've got to take something in college football, and I'm not even saying infect people. I'm just saying if you're going to scare people into canceling things, you can scare the lower-level bowl games, although I'll miss those. Those are great gambling opportunities for an enterprising young man like myself. Take the other New Year's Six games. I would hate that, too. That would be painful. Take the first month of the NBA season. Oh, yeah, that's right. You already did. But please don't take the college football playoff. Sound like Tim McGraw. Please don't take the girl. Take the lower-level bowl games. Take the New Year's Six bowl games, but please don't take the girl. Yeah, don't take the college football playoffs from us. So, it's weird, man. College football season is weird. This is supposed to be rivalry weekend, and then we're supposed to start, getting conference titles next week. Not the case. We'll get them eventually, we hope. All right, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you want to get in on the show, if you want to tweet me, you can do it at Sean T. Pendergast on Twitter. Jim Ross is a WWE Hall of Famer. He is the voice of AEW. He is also a huge college football fan. He's a huge fan of the NFL. He can talk about anything. Good friend of mine. He's going to join us in the next segment. So we'll catch up with JR. We're going to talk some NBA basketball in hour number two with Brian Geltzeiler. We will talk some football, NFL and college, in hour number three with Brian McFadden, former NFL DB, former Florida State Seminole. And I guess you're always a Seminole. With your college, you're never former. You're always. The NFL is a business. You're former. But college, you're always. But I wonder how much the Florida State guys feel like they're always right now with Florida State. There was that article about Florida State on ESPN.com about a week or so ago. They talked about the final days of Jimbo Fisher, the entire Willie Taggart era. I say the entire Willie Taggart era, like he's Bobby Bowden. He was there for like a week, it felt like. And now Mike Norvell trying to get it going. Well, I'll ask Brian McFadden about that in hour number three as well. But if you want to get in, 855-212-4CBS, the number to do that. Twitter at Sean T. Pendergast. Good to be with all of you here in the jungle on a Friday after Thanksgiving. Time for a sports update now. Bottom of the hour. Here's Erica Herskowitz. Yeah, I got to let that song play a little bit right there for my guy. Got to let the song play a little bit. And we're going to talk to Jim Ross here in just a second. Quick reminder, time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, Sports Radio, CBSSportsRadio.com, /AskThePros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. As you guys know, this is a big day for me, getting to sit in for the legend Jim Rome. And if I'm going to do this show and it's a big day for me, I go to the people I count on to be great guests on this show. I go to another legend, another Hall of Famer, and a good friend of mine, and he joins me on the program right now. He is a WWE Hall of Famer. He's the voice of AEW. Jim Ross joining me on the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio. JR, happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I enjoyed it here. I'm in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Not in Oklahoma this go-around, but it was great. Hope yours was, too.
Yeah, it was awesome, Jim. It was awesome. It's good to hear your voice. And, you know, I know you're in Jacksonville because that's where AEW does the TV. We enjoy you every Wednesday night in our household on TNT for sure. But I know you've had to miss some of these games lately. You weren't at Bedlam. You're a fixture on the sideline at these OU football games. How are you adapting to football season during COVID?
I'm having very strong withdrawal, Sean. I'm shaking, but I haven't lost my appetite, thank God. I think I'm drinking more. That's not a great sign. I haven't been to an OU game this year. Wow. I haven't said that since the early 70s. Just, you know, I'm 68. I'm in the high-risk group for this COVID stuff, and I just didn't take the chance of traveling. So it's been a very unusual year. I can't say it's my favorite year, but at least we're all above ground.
Yeah, it has been a strange year, JR. Have you let your mind go forward and think about what that's going to be like, not just to be back at OU games with crowds, but you've been at some of the biggest, you've been in arenas with some of the biggest audiences to ever watch professional wrestling before. Like, what's that been like doing commentary where, you know, it's not your normal wrestling atmosphere this year?
Well, it's an adjustment, no doubt about it. But, you know, my go-to answer is I watch my monitor very closely, and I turn my levels up on my headset so that I got to fight to get over the ambient noise that's there, and my partners and myself. So a little technical cheating, but mm-hmm. it's an adjustment. But, you know, this week we have our biggest show probably on TNT we've ever had on Wednesday, December 2nd. And we are going to have a really big audience there because we socially distance. We're at Daly's Place Amphitheater. It's outside. We give everybody plenty of room. So we may have, you know, 700, 1,000 fans there this week. And quite frankly, that's a huge difference for us. We all love that. So it's an adjustment, but it's like anything else, man. You just got to adjust and move forward.
Yeah, 700 to 1,000 is going to feel like a full Madison Square Garden compared to what it's been like so far this year. Hey, what's the experience been like for you so far, JR, in AEW? You guys are a little over a year into being on TV, doing pay-per-views. You guys have been doing great numbers. The product is excellent. What's it been like a year and change in for you so far?
It's been a lot of fun, Sean. You know, we have a great owner, Tony Khan. He and his father own the Jaguars and the Fulham Football Club in the UK. So it's working for Tony's been a joy. He's mid-30s. He's a lifelong wrestling fan. He tells me things that I said, and I said, wait a minute. You weren't even born when I said that. But he's that kind of fan. So yeah. He's exuberant, he's exciting, and it's been a real charge. I kind of equate it to being the voice in the old AFL, you know, and it's a fledgling deal. It's a new group of guys, mostly young, not all, but mostly young. So, but it's been a blast, man. I said this before, it's my last gig. You know, I'm going to ride out in the sunset right here where I am, and I love working for Tony and AEW. Good group of talents. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Hi, and we're joined by Jim Ross, the WWE Hall of Famer, voice of AEW. How's it been different? Other than the scope of the company, I mean, obviously, you know, WWE has grown into a billion-dollar business, and you were a big part of that growth, no doubt about that. How's it been different from your WWE experience, aside from just the scope of the company?
Well, the size of WWE and the publicly traded aspect of it, they're a big corporation or a big conglomerate, so to speak. And sometimes when you get that large, it's easy to lose sight of the personal element of it. I think NFL has the same issues. You know, when you got a team that's pulling together, they have unity, and it's not all about the corporate, the front office. It's just a better scenario. So I think we're personal. It's more casual, quite frankly. You know, where a tour, where a production meeting in WWE might last 3 hours, ours lasts maybe 30 minutes. So it's that kind of situation. We are just, Tony's very straightforward. We know his direction. He gives us our marching orders, and then we don't hear from him again until we're off the air.
Probably the most recognizable name, I think, JR, to longtime WWE fans in AEW's Chris Jericho would be my guess. And just, and Jericho's been around forever, and he keeps reinventing himself. How remarkable is Chris Jericho's ability to adapt over the years?
Well, you know, in any form of entertainment or sports, you cannot be afraid to adapt to change. Make your game better. Add a few things, take a few things out. And Jericho's always had the courage to be bold in that regard. You know, when I hired Chris Jericho in WWE, he was still 5'10 or 5'11. And I kind of fibbed on that one. Oh, he's 6 feet. Don't worry about it. And he kind of is those lists. But nonetheless, he's not afraid to change. And he's a great leader for us. You know, he's a lot of the young guys go to him for advice and counsel, which they should. He's the veteran. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's been to the big games. He's headlined WrestleMania. So he's a real gift for AEW. And again, not being afraid to change your game for the better is always a win for anybody that does that.
Yeah, I think it's good advice for anybody in any walk of business, certainly in any walk of entertainment, no doubt about that. Jim Ross joining me on the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio. JR, I was listening to a recent episode of your podcast that you do with Conrad Thompson, Grilling JR. It's an excellent, excellent podcast. You talked about the year the first iteration of the XFL was around, when you were not only with the company, with WWE, but you were one of the voices of the XFL on TV. I'm curious. I know you're friendly with The Rock. I know you signed The Rock to WWE back in the day, and he's become the biggest star on planet Earth, it feels like. How do you think the third iteration of the XFL is going to do under The Rock's watchful eye?
Well, the emotional answer, Sean, would be that The Rock hasn't done anything yet that he's failed at.
Yeah,
he's got a team around him that's very clear thinkers. They're innovative. They change, too. So I'm not going to predict any numbers, but if it's going to survive, if anybody can make the XFL survive as a TV product in the spring when football is dormant in other leagues, it's him. He's just that innovative. He's a winner. He's a game guy. He's a football guy, and I'm sure that he's going to attract other football people to help get his league going. But I never count The Rock out. I promise you that.
I know that product of the first iteration of the XFL was very wrestling-ized, I'll call it. You know, it wasn't like the second time that Vince did the XFL was much more football-centric and not nearly as entertainment-centric. But as someone who called games in that, how much did you enjoy it, just getting to get your hands dirty in the football world?
Oh, I love football. As you and I know, we've had plenty of beverages to talk about football over our friendship. And
yep.
I love the game. I watch high school football on TV. I watch any football that's on. I check it out because I'm a fan of the game. I'm watching Texas and Iowa State right now, as a matter of fact. It was fun. I didn't do it for the money, for goodness sakes. I made $1,500 a game. And then, you know, some nights, I remember doing a game in Chicago. The announcers all sat outside. It was sleeting. And then I got on McMahon's private jet and flew to Phoenix, which is a lot better at climate change. Mm-hmm. And did a big pay-per-view the next day. So it was an adventure for me that year. And even though the football was lousy, it really was. It never got any better, and that killed it. And it was two wrestling eyes, no doubt about that. You know, when Coach Rusty Tillman and Jesse Ventura were having a confrontation that the Coach Rusty Tillman didn't know he was involved in, it was awkward. But I thought they were on the right track. They hired my buddy Bob Stoops to coach the Dallas franchise.
That's right.
And COVID was the biggest enemy this year. They had two good TV contracts. It seemed like they were on the right track. So I think Rock can learn from all these previous XFL incarnations and rebrand it in his own image in a classy way. So it should be fun. But I had a lot of fun. You know, when you get to work with guys like Dick Butkus and Dan Hampton, for example, you know, our pregame consists of drinking some Crown Royal and them not having a board. They just came to see the game. And I love those free games. I love doing the games with these guys. You know, Dick Butkus is one of my all-time favorites. If I could have worn number 51 all my life, I would have. But he was just it was a blast. For a football mark, it was heaven.
Yeah. And JR, as somebody who, I know you've been involved in creative before, the best feuds are the ones where the two guys actually know that they're involved in a feud, unlike Jesse Ventura and Rusty Tillman. Both guys have to know they're involved in a feud for the feud to be good, right?
Yeah. It helps a little bit to know that the stop sign up there, you got to stop. So,
that's right.
Yeah, you got to know your directions.
Absolutely.
And, well, it was awkward, Shawnee. It was just awkward. And it got out of hand. And I think everybody saw that it's like moving around the deck chairs on the Titanic. Ain't going to do us no good. Whatever we do is not going to work. We're dead in the water. So in that case, I just decided, hell, I'm just going to have fun. I want to go out and enjoy it. I'm going to go see football. I'm going to get paid a couple of bucks for doing it, get a little bit of exposure, and enjoy my life. And I did every game.
Hey, JR, I don't know if I've ever asked you this over the many beverages and conversations we've had. What's the one non-wrestling dream event for you that you would want to call? If you could pick one event outside of the sport of professional wrestling, what would it be?
The Sooners versus the Longhorns, probably radio-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's got a great play-by-play guy, and now a really young guy. But calling an OU big game like Texas, or like Bedlam, or like a bowl game would be my bucket list, just to be a part of that. I don't even need to be paid. I just like to go do the game.
Yeah, I figured it'd be something related to OU. Hey, speaking of OU, real quick, JR, I'm in a city that's looking for an NFL head coach. Lincoln Riley's name comes up a lot on my show here locally. What are your thoughts on, not that I'm trying to get you to, you know, move him out of Norman or anything. I'm sure Sooner fans love Lincoln Riley, but just your thoughts on Lincoln Riley and his potential as an NFL head coach, possibly.
It's a really unique question in a sense that he'll never leave because of money.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Castiglione, our athletic director, is the best in the business. You know, and Lincoln was a handpicked successor to Coach Stoops. We have the best young head coach in the game, any level, any league, anywhere. And I truly believe that. If you look at how he started his career there and the wins he's amassed, the players he's developed, it's pretty amazing. So I think it's inevitable that someday he's going to say, well, I want to try something new. Or it could be that he's the guy that stays there, like Bob stayed there 18 years, I think. You know, Lincoln may stay 20 and call it a day. But he won't leave because of money. He'll only leave, I think, because of the itch, because he's got to know what it's like to run his own ship in the NFL. And man, oh man, what a coach he'll be.
Yeah, his name comes up a lot down here, JR. I got to tell you, Lincoln Riley. It'd be like Lincoln Riley with Deshaun Watson. That could make for some fun watching at your little beach bar that you go to down there in Jacksonville, my friend.
You are, man. This is a unique place, some unique game planning. You know, Lincoln, he's a genius in so many ways. He's rebuilt that program into today's trends as far as social media, how they recruit, and all those things. You know, I think the Sooners are probably a year away from being really, really good again, but they're not bad right now. But I think a year from now, they're going to be sensational.
JR, I'm sitting right here right now at jrsbbq.com, and you know my MO this time of year. My kids' teachers got so much barbecue sauce and jalapeno mustard through the years as gifts, they didn't know what to do with all. I'm sure they loved it, and they're probably still ordering from your website. But you got your book, you got all the sauces. This is really cool stuff. You got the podcast people can be downloading. You got your hands in a lot of things right now, my friend. I'm so happy for you.
Well, as my grandpa would say, son, you're busier than a fruit merchant. You know, fruit merchants set their stands up on the side of the road. If there wasn't any business, they packed up and moved to another location because the fruit was perishable. So I'm busier than a fruit merchant, but I love it. JRBBQ.com. We just got some new packages, and we have three packages, Sean. You're going to like this one. The top package is called Jan's Favorite. I named it after my late wife, Jan. It's loaded with everything we got, and we got some new. We ship it great. We have great customer service. So it don't cost you nothing to go on the site and look. So that's what I encourage folks to do. Good Christmas gifts, good holiday gifts all the way around. So I appreciate you mentioning it.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. No, they, and I speak from experience. They make great gifts. People love them. JR'sBBQ.com. JR, great catching up with you, my friend. And enjoy all these football games. Keep kicking ass on AEW. You sound great, and I'm really happy for you. Love you, and happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Well, buddy, I'm telling you this. I'm bringing my A game this Wednesday night on TNT. I'll guarantee you.
There you go. There you go. Jim Ross, the Hall of Famer, joining me. JR, appreciate it. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Jim Ross joining me here on the Jim Rome Show. All right. That's hour number one in the books. Got a couple hours to go still. 855-212-4CBS. If you want to get in, you can hit me on Twitter, at Sean T. Pendergast on Twitter. We'll come back. We'll reset here at the top of the hour. Man, it's great to be with all of you. This is so cool. Jim Rome's Jungle. Being stewarded for another 2 hours by me, Shawnee the Cablinasian. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. 1 hour in, two to go. Stay there.